of Songs or Song of Solomon. This is, as far as God sees it, this is the Song of Songs. There's no greater song than this song. It was written by King Solomon, but it was actually inspired by the Holy Spirit through him. And this is the greatest message about God and His people, about God and Israel, about Jesus Christ as bridegroom and His bride. It's a love song, and God is love. So everybody here needs to know, you need to have, not only hearing it with your ear, I'm speaking it now, so you're hearing with your ear, you need to have this touch your heart, that God loves you personally, unconditionally, no conditions. In other words, you have to be a sinner. You have to be completely helpless and hopeless. You have to be. So if you have anything good going for you, you're not going to ever understand the love of God. You will never understand it. This is only for those that have nothing, who have absolutely are rebellious against God. He created you, therefore He owns you, therefore He governs you, and you are ungovernable. You refuse to be governed. That's the one He loves. Whereas if you pretend like, if you pretend, because you're just pretending, that, oh, I want to be governed by God, you lied. And you will never understand the love of God. The love of God is not aimed at someone who's not a sinner. It's aimed only for sinners. This does no good. If you're a righteous person, you're a wonderful person, He has no good news for you. And His statement is, you're not. There is no such person. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody. So if all have, there are no degrees. Like, I'm not as much as he is, or I'm not as much as she is. Okay? You lied. That's a lie. So now you're worse now because you lied. You not only are wicked, but you then lied. And now you're a hypocrite plus a wicked sinner. So you go to hell three times. No, there is no such thing. It's all you missed it. You misunderstood that the whole issue was that God wanted lovers. So being a Christian is not behaving yourself. Say that, please. Being a Christian is not behaving myself. You know, it isn't misbehaving. You didn't hear me say sin and misbehave. You heard me say you do sin, and when you behave, that was just you. It's worth nothing. Completely nothing. Now, I'm not speaking to the world. I'm only speaking to the church. To the world, they believe that there's good and bad, and they know what it is. And that's fine. No problem. So they don't do naughty things and so on. Let them do it that way. But we're talking about us. We're talking about us who are born again. We are the light and the salt of the world. For us, behaving is nothing. For us, behaving is nothing. That's God's work, God's work, God's work, God's work. So we want to make sure that all our deeds are not ours. Every deed we do is not us behaving. In other words, just your soulish. You soulishly acting well. Not beneficiaries any longer. We're the trustees of the trust. We're not the benefactor. That's God. But we're not the beneficiary unless we're new. When you're new, then you're a beneficiary. Then you go through the training program until you become a trustee, which means dead. Here's the secret. Dead. That's when you live. As soon as you're dead, then you're alive. So you've got to take up your cross. Jesus took up his cross. That's how he started. Then you take up your cross. That means you're willing. Not my will, but thine be done. I just want to say your words, do your deeds. I don't want to be me anymore. That's the slave to the truth. Does that make sense? Now, let's go to the Song of Solomon and see that Solomon's song is only about the third. Why? Because I think that's what God is. I think that's what time it is. 2013 is the perfecting of the bride. This year. I said, Fred, what are you talking about? You're just making a step up. You know. Just making it up. But I thought it was good. No.
I actually believe that God is dividing his church, that means separating us away from the world so that we're not just born-again people with our light under a bushel, that we're actually going on with God all the way, and it's going to happen, and it's going to happen right here in the Metroplex. Now, in fact, I declare to you, it happened last year. I don't even care who's doing it. I haven't even had time to go and ask anybody in Dallas what's going on, because I think it happened there last year. Where God divided his house, his church from his church, Christian from Christian, Jew from Jew, the world from the world. And I think he made that division so that we could be the light, so that people would hate us and persecute us. And that's different than the Holy Spirit. When the world hates you, that's a good thing. When God hates you, that's a better thing. That is, he hates your flesh. He doesn't hate you, he hates the old you that was independent of him to make you a new you, which is married to him. In other words, he loves you. In other words, love is death. In other words, love is death. Does that make any sense? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? It's crazy talk. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? When you love somebody, if I love Peggy, then I love her as she is. I don't want anything from her. I have the love. You see? I'll love Peggy, and she can be anything she wants to be. I don't care what she is, because I love her. I don't want her to change. If she changes, that's her business. I don't care that she changes. She can not change. I still love her. But I can tell her the truth. Peggy, you need to change. You need to change. But I don't force it. Why? Because God won't force it. You never forced anything, ever, ever, ever in the history of the world. Everything is for you, the beneficiary. Every man is his beneficiary, not just Christians. But unfortunately, the world doesn't want to be his beneficiary because they want to be the benefactor. They want to be the good one. They want to be proud. They want to be smart. They want to be strong. You said it. I'm going to have it. Because you're neither good, smart, or strong. Say it. I am not good. I am not smart. And I'm definitely not strong. I can do nothing apart from him. Okay, but in him, through him, by him, with him, you can do all things. There's nothing you can't do. What is it he wants you to do? Not your own thing. Not I can fly to the moon now. It's not that kind of stuff. It's doing what he always wanted when he wrote the law in the first place, left hand to everybody. They can't do what they're supposed to do, so they're all guilty. You're the only one that could be a light to show you, here's how we did it. We didn't did it. He did it. And we just believed him. And that's how it all worked. Then we went through the fire, and we got perfected, and now we're lovers. We wanted to tell you. And you can kill us if you want. It's no problem. That, when the world sees that, they know. For example, when I went to Israel one year, I took a whole bunch of people with us. I don't know if some of you were over there. We took the biggest group from America. How do I know it was the biggest group? It was the only group. It was the only group that ever came. Why? Because the airplanes were flying over and everybody was, you know, afraid and nobody wanted to go and they had no tourism there. So it was wonderful because there were no lines. There were no lines. You could go anywhere you wanted to go because there was no lines to wait for or whatever. You could go into any dig or anything you wanted to do. It was great. It was awesome. The Ministry of Culture then came out and said, we went in the fall. They came out and said, you're the only group that came from America, so we've made these certificates for you. We want to thank you for loving us. You didn't come for a tour. You obviously love us. And the people that have the numbers on their arms, if that make any sense to you, most of them are dead now. They're in their 80s. They were Schindler's List. They were people, we met several. And they invited us into their booths. They have the biggest festival of the year is called Booths, where they invite you in. They have to invite Gentiles to come in. It's part of their culture. And they invite us in, and we weep. We say, we know why you're here. You believe that God isn't finished with us. That's powerful because a lot of the people who went through the Holocaust and all the stuff that happened in World War II gave up God. They stopped believing in God. It was too painful to hope for a God who wasn't coming through. So they just gave up. In other words, they crucified him against. We don't want to even be Christian. We don't want to be Jewish. We don't want to be anything. We just want to make it. But they wept when they saw that somebody was still having hope and believe that they had hope to go everywhere in the world today. That's what they want, hope. They don't have any. Their regimes are corrupt to the gills. Their lives are a shambles. They, you know, the water is crummy, everything bad. They don't have any hope. This is the last place where there could be hope. Europe is hopeless now. Europe is finished. She no longer can produce anything. And now here our country is following Europe. It's stupid. Europe is socialist. It's like, you know, tie to every piece of property some kind of a burden, social burden. You know, care about a salamander. Everything's now burdened, taxed. And to such a degree, you're a slave. You can't own anything now that's not tied to something. You don't have anything to dispose of. And soon, because they're just going to run it all up until you have nothing, because you're on the debt. You know that. You're the one on the debt. They're not on the debt who passed the laws. You're on the debt. Because this is a government of the people, for the people, by the people. You're the people. So you're on the debt. So they can run it up as high as they want to, even when there's nothing left. They don't care, because they're just buying votes. And if you don't do anything about it, it won't be done. You're the only one that could have done something, but if you don't have wisdom, why do it? Most people just say, it's all corrupt. Of course it's all corrupt. What kind of world do you want? In the world you have rubble. Be of good cheer. You see that right there is a killer. You see that one? Be of good cheer. When you go through troubles, trials, tribulations, you rejoice. How many of us says, rejoice in the Lord always? That's kind of like always. That's kind of like always. So even when the Antichrist is there, rejoice. Even when they're, you know, pulling out your fingernails, your eyes are gouged out, rejoice. See, that's stupid. God. I know, I was thinking that too. But that's a Christian. That would be a mature Christian. That would be a mature Christian. You know what? He's going to have that. There are people that are so in love with Jesus and have been so blessed that they have gone through the furnace, through the fire, and said, you know what? We made it. Our God is good. Who else? Who else? Who else could have done this? Miracles, signs, wonders have followed me my life. I should be dead. I should not be here. So he will have a people. He will have those that he owns because he created. Whatever you create, you own. It's yours. That's why God says, you are mine. He not only owns you naturally under the left hand, he also owns you by the blood of Jesus, which purchased the whole world. Everything. He said, I want to buy every man. I want every man to have hope. I want every man to hear the good news, the love. And after you crucify me, I'll just rise up again and give you hope again. Love hopes all things, endures all things, believes all things. It never quits. That's why love will come. Now, sometimes you get discouraged in this world and you think, is it worth it? Why not just be a broken up over there? You know, it's kind of silly, this religion thing is working. No, God has another idea. No, not only are we not the past, we are the future. In a few years, just a few years, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. In just a few years, if you have the joy that set before you, you will be ruling the world. You will be judging Israel, angels, everybody. But today, you are not. This is not the day of triumph. This is the day of hiddenness. This is the day when the bride is not seen. Now let's read Song of Solomon. It starts out, by night, that means darkness. That means when the world has no hope. On my bed, I sought him whom my soul, not my spirit, my soul loveth, myself. In other words, this beloved is chair six. This is the bride who hath made herself completely holy, holy, holy. Not just believing, but also have gone through the furnace, the fire, the troubles, the difficulties, and came out to be a lover who's looking for the Lord Jesus. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul, myself, not just my heart, but my heart and my soul, loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. You cannot find Jesus today. Now, I know a lot of churches teach, you know, we own him and we've got him and so on. It's not really true. You don't own him and got it. All you can do, I tell you, will never be glorified unless you suffer. This is the time to suffer. What does it mean? Suffering doesn't mean suffering. Suffering means the one you love is not visible, manifest, himself. Oh yeah, signs, wonders, and miracles and all that. That's not it. That's only a confirmation. And besides, it's not even for the church. That's for the world. The signs and wonders are for the world that they may marvel. It's not for the church, but the churches want them. That's why churches are now existing to show those things. Yeah, we have miracles and healings and all. That's great. It's good. But you know what? As a church, you're not a baby. You should be mature now. You should be the one that are producing those signs that the world may see and believe. But no, we don't even love one another because we never went through the furnace. We never brotherly loved. Therefore, the world doesn't believe us. And you can only get so much. And then you won't get any more. Until we go through the furnace. Until you go through and are purified. You start out, you have husk and seed together. Then you go through the threshing machine, beating and smashing and destroying all your hope, all your security, everything you live for and love. Destroy it. Then you've lost your life. Desperate. Because then Jesus does a miracle. But he won't do it until you go through that. And he won't force you, so why would anyone go through it? As soon as you get into a little trouble, then you'll be complaining. Why? Praise God. Jesus loves you. Jesus created you. Jesus now redeemed you. Jesus gave you the Holy Spirit. What more do you want? If Pastor Jim is your pastor, what more do you want? That was a joke. God wants his people to be invulnerable. In other words, no one can harm you. Who can touch you? I send you out a sheep among wolves. How can a sheep make it through the wolf pack? How can a sheep make it? How can you be sheep? He sends you out. He's actually sending you out as sheep among wolves. How do they make it? It's simple. They don't have teeth enough to bite. They're not fast enough to outrun a wolf or a dog or whatever. How do they make it? I didn't hear it. That's the issue. As soon as they bleat, the shepherd comes. Now, he's always been there. He's actually invisibly there. If you know your shepherd is nearby, you can go right through all the wolves and you'll make it. But that's because you're praising the Lord because of your shepherd. You're not even interested in wolves. Because you know if he would send you out, he must have a reason that you don't know about. And you don't have to know. Why should you brain yourself up? I got to understand this. You don't need to understand anything. You don't understand anything. You have a pea brain.
Where's the iPhone?
Okay. There. Wolf. Bad. It's not going to help. So you just need to trust Jesus. How many know that you don't need anything fancy? You don't need everything. Everything can go rotten on you. I'm just telling you right now, whatever you're relying on, it can go the next minute. And it's going to go. He's going to shake everything in this world. And the bad guys are going to win. They will make war with the saints and they will prevail. So how are you going to make it? You better have a joy that's set before you that, first of all, you don't care. And second of all, how can you endure? How can you win when you lose? Easy. That's the secret to the kingdom. Losing is, I love you so much that even if you slay me, yet I will still trust in God that you will bring me victory because you love me. Your life never dies. I'll just resurrect. Either the wolf won't bite me at all or he'll bite me. Doesn't make any difference. Because whichever way it goes, you're going to win. Now, how many have that kind of faith? I'm just preaching it. Okay, that's good. But, you know, you all need to have that. Because pretty soon it's going to be that way that there'll be nobody in the middle. Today, everybody's in the middle and very few are on the extremes. Wicked to the hilt and righteous to the hilt. Those are the two extremes. But in a little while, all the multitudes in the middle, multitudes in the valley of decision, they'll have to decide which way or the other. Because that side's not going to let you off and this side is just going to keep preaching Jesus with God. They'll force. We won't. So, will everyone go this way? Uh-uh. No. Many will go that way because they hate God more than they hate the devil. They hate being loved. You know, a lot of people hate themselves. They do not love themselves. And they're miserable. That's your own choice. You chose that. I'm not miserable. I choose not to be, and I'm not. I choose to believe the word, and I believe it, and I believe it. I'm not making myself believe it. I just believe it. And so you put me through any kind of test, I'm still going to come off believing in Jesus. I'm not going to shake. I don't care what you do. They're not going to work. Why? Because I don't care. I don't care if I die. I don't care if people hate me. I don't care. I don't care that I get anything. I don't want it. I won't even take it. I will give. I will only take from God. Whatever God gives me, I'm content. I don't need more. I don't want it. Don't want it. Won't take it. Why? Because I've learned, whatever state I am, to be content. So I don't need to have any proof, any sign, any wonder, anything. I just need the bare word. Just give me the kiss. The bare word. Now the kiss is God's way of saying the bare written word. That is where he's speaking to me, saying, Jim, I love you. Now, that's going to mean he's going to kill all my flesh, but I'm going to kill him first, but then he's going to forgive me, and then I'm going to accept it, and it's going to touch my heart and go, that guy loved me. I just killed the one that loved me. I just killed the one person I love. Are you aware that people do that all the time? You don't hurt the people that you should hurt. You hurt people that they actually care for you, and then they're the ones, well, why didn't you do something? You start yelling at the very people that are actually the ones that love you and care for you. Anybody notice that? Anybody seen how you can do that? The people that you love the most, you can hurt the most. The people that are actually scheming and doing all kinds of rotten stuff, they get away. God wants you to learn, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Just let go, just let go, just let go. God, do it. Because God is great. He's awesome. And the best has been saved to the last. Next verse. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now. That is, the church will resurrect now. Okay? I'm looking for him now, but I don't see him now. I can't find him now. My soul loves him, but he won't come through. He won't manifest. He won't arrive. And I go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. So this woman who loves this man, the church who loves God, Jesus, the bridegroom, is looking for him now, but he's not going to show up now. Not going to come for a while. Not going to come today, next year, next year, next year. Not, sorry. It's going to be a while. But right now, he's only working on one thing, the church, to get to be a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, so she's a lover. Led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, so that she's alone. And that's all he's working on. He's not working on, you know, the economy or the politics or the, you know, the Hindus and Buddhists. He's not working on any of those religions. He doesn't care about them. He's only working on his own. He knows that we have a good foundation. But why build a foundation and then never build on top of it? What would be a fool would build a foundation and say, God, look at this foundation. It's incredible. When are you going to build the house on it? I don't have any money for that. But hey, what do you think of the foundation? Awesome. Don't you think you should build something on it? Not really. I don't have any resources. But why'd you build them first? I don't know. I didn't think about it. That's a fool. Only a fool would build a foundation and then quit. Stop. No, keep going. Why did you build it? Why did you start? Didn't God build the foundation? And doesn't he build the house? And aren't you the house? Therefore, did you really run out? Is it even possible for the church not to arrive where the church ought to arrive? Before the Lord returns, will he not have a bride? Will he find only a harlot church? Will he not find a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing? And wouldn't it be us? Wouldn't we be part of that? Who's ready? Who's ready? All right, now what does God want? He's wanting hot, not lukewarm. Doesn't want lukewarm, hates lukewarm. Why? Because lukewarm doesn't exist. Lukewarm is just cold, pretending like it's not. It's not. Lukewarm is just cold. No, it's just a killer. It's a cold-blooded killer. That when the love comes in, there's no hot, because you're not in love with love. God is love. And God's love is coming to crucify your flesh. Not you, but your flesh. But the old you, the independent you, yeah, I killed that. But not the new you, the Christ in you, not the one that God loves. So he's going to come and get the little kernel out and throw off the husk. But instead, we kill him. And then he forgives. And then he resurrects from the dead. And then it touches our heart. You have to kill him. How can you have resurrection without death? So I will now arise, says the bride. I will now arise. I will have a resurrection because it's going into my heart.